And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time, I like to say. All right, well, listen, red state, blue stuff. So what do I mean by that? Well, it's amazing when you look around at some of the things that are happening in other places that you think of, well, that's a far more liberal place than we live in. I'm glad I live in Alabama. And that's true. I mean, by and large, that is true. Don't let me try to paint this as, you know, I'm going to try and tell you that you live in a liberal state, because this is still Alabama. This is still very much a red state when it comes to politics. It's still very much a grassroots conservative state that's even more, in my opinion, the grassroots of Alabama is more conservative than the politics of Alabama. I think in some ways the politics of Alabama have almost gotten purple, at least in their outcomes, not necessarily their party affiliations. But all that to say, you look at stuff that's happening, like out in California or in New York City or, you know, places that you look at, or Chicago, and you think, well, that's just like a liberal bastion out there. I mean, that's where madness happens. That's like, you know, watching Escape from New York City with Snake Plissken. No. You know, did you ever see that movie, Boomer? Escape from New York City?
Yeah. Yes. It's been a while.
It's a classic.
Yes. It's been a while.
It's a horribly acted classic. It's like the ultimate B grade movie.
Yeah.
Anyway, I totally digress. Okay. Anyway, so we don't live in those kinds of places where those kinds of policies, to my knowledge, there are no true sanctuary cities in Alabama. Now, we do have things like liberal mayor Randall Woodfin. We have to deal with the Birmingham Water Works Board. We have the mayor of Montgomery, Stephen Reed, trying to put sexually hiring preferences in. Just stuff like that. And then there's the occasional one-off situation that you look at and you go, wow. But I will tell you this. There are some things that still happen in this state that you look at and go, this is a red state, but we got some blue stuff. And it's true. So I got a few examples. I thought I'd run down some. I'll tell you, I mean, I gotta kind of figure out which one I want to start with. I'll tell you what, let me go to the bottom of my stack here. This came off of 1819 News just yesterday. My friend Erica Thomas, who's been on the show before, she found out that, you know, and you may have heard, by the way, you may have heard about Vanderbilt University doing transgender treatments and surgeries on minors. Well, we passed a law against that in Alabama, right? But she also found out, though, that UAB, right here in good old Alabama, UAB, which has a lot of amazing doctors and facilities out there, but UAB, though, is listed as, quote, a leader in LGBTQ healthcare equality by the Human Rights Campaign. And they have a special website dedicated just to the LGBT community. And they even have an LGBTQ and mental health and wellness clinic. Okay, all that to say, fine, I get it. But then what was also interesting, Erica Thomas found out, was 1819 News has discovered that UAB also has a children's clinic dedicated to pediatric LGBTQ issues and care. All right. It's not like they're trying to treat gender dysphoria and help you figure out your way forward in life. I mean, maybe they say that some of that is it, but they're also treating these kids for basically transitioning. So one of the specialists recommended by the clinic is Children's of Alabama Associate Professor of Pediatrics, Marissa Jean Ladinsky. She's an MD. She's an actual medical doctor. So what does UAB and Children's of Alabama together offer? Well, there's a video of Ladinsky apparently teaching a course for UAB Department of Pediatrics in 2020. In the video, which is up on YouTube, Ladinsky speaks for like 45 minutes about how medical providers should care for those in the LGBT community, focusing on children and youth. Her presentation, it says in the article here, gave insight into the mindsets and motivations of doctors who treat children with puberty blockers and hormones. But she did, in a subsequent interview with 1819, with Erica Thomas, she said, we don't do surgeries. Well, that's good, because that's against the law in Alabama now. Thank you very much. But it goes on to say, at one point, Ladinsky advised medical providers not to tell the parents or the patients if the child comes out to them, since the parents might not react well. Okay, now we're getting into a whole new realm, because there's nothing about pediatric care that should be kept from the parents. Nothing. When your child's a minor, Listen, in Alabama, the law says they can't vote till they're 16. They can't join the military till they're 18. They can't drink until they're 21. They can't vote until they're 18. They can't. The statutory rape occurs below the age of, I believe it's 16. The age of majority to do things on your own is 19. We have actual grounds in the law to say that age matters at a certain point. Well, when you're a minor, when you are not of the age of majority, you have to have parental consent just to take a field trip at school. Doctors do not keep information from the parents. Unconscionable that she's taken this route. But anyway, she says that. Her quote was, "Let's keep our youth safe," she says in the video. "Our job is not to rush and tell their parents unless they want us to." Really? She said she makes it a point when 18, 19 asked her about it. She said she makes it a point when teaching pediatricians to tell them that young people should own their own coming out journey. She said her duty is to her patient to protect them from possible abuse or shame. And in pediatrics, she said, keeping information between the child and the physician is standard in all situations. No, by God, it's not. I wonder if she has kids. That's a rhetorical question. I don't know. Anyway, this doctor, Ledinsky at UAB, also said in the presentation that a child as young as 3 years old may express gender dysphoria or feel that they're in the wrong sex. In her words, by age 3, 4, or 5, kids know internally who they are from a gender perspective, and some of them, they know that they are a girl when they were assigned boy at birth. She described her own self as being gender diverse when she was a child. Goes on, and I'll try not to wear it out too much because this is happening. I'll tell you what, there's a little more I got to go into here. I got to. She goes on to say that the treatment for children is different from the treatment for adults, Ledinsky explained, likening puberty blockers just to clothes shopping. Let me rephrase that. Let me say that again for you. You ready? She says that puberty blockers for children is like nothing more than just going shopping for clothes. It's not permanent. In her words, kids can try it on. It's a temporary pause button, she said, at the very start of puberty. It freeze frames it. It gives that child and that family time to try on that identity. What? This is just, you're just screwing with people's heads now. And their bodies, by the way. Although the FDA recently issued a warning about the puberty blockers used at UAB and Children's, Ledinsky says she's not concerned. These are the same drugs which are classified for use for chemical castration. Ledinsky said she has treated children as young as 4 years old, but that treatment only included help with the mental aspects and not medication or surgery until puberty. Oh, good. There are other states that will perform transgender surgeries on children, but Ledinsky said neither UAB nor Children's of Alabama doctors ever make referrals to those institutions. Okay, glad to hear it. But finally, 1819 News asked her at the very end, "What is a woman?" This is a medical doctor, by the way. "What is a woman?" Her answer? Well, I would turn it right back to you because I think the answer, what is a woman or what is a man, is different for every single person. I bet you the answer I would come up with is going to be different than you. She's a graduate of Johns Hopkins School of Medicine. And she was awarded the Senior Faculty 2022, that's this year, Dean's Excellent Award for Diversity Enhancement. I'm telling you, folks, if that's not an example of a red state having some blue stuff, I don't know what is. That's right here at the vaunted UAB Medical School. That is someone who is working, excuse me, the medical center. That is somebody who is working in the field of pediatrics, who is claiming, her name is, again, Dr. Marissa Jean Ledinsky, and she works at Children's of Alabama as an associate professor of pediatrics. Wow. Treating kids as young as 3, 4, and 5 years old with puberty blockers. So they can just try it on, kind of like clothes shopping. You just see whether you like it. You can just try it on. No, that's just wrong. That's just wrong on a variety of levels. I tell you what, before I switch gears into financial, can't make this stuff up kind of stuff. Anyway, before I switch gears, let me just tell you, there are some things happening in some schools around here that you look at and go, okay, red state, that's blue stuff. Like, for instance, I saw my friend Scott Buttram. I need to get Scott back on the show again sometime soon. He hasn't been on in a while. He's the editor of the Trustful Tribune. But Scott Buttram tweeted out this morning, there's been a situation going on in St. Clair County in Trustful. Anyway, is it Trustful City Schools or St. Clair County Schools? I'm sorry, I forget which. Anyway, the bottom line is right down that way, there's been a situation going on with the principal of a school having knowledge that there was a student who had what they called a death notebook, where they had all the names written down of the people they wanted to kill in the school. and the principal knew about it for a year without saying anything about it and let it go on. And you've seen what's happening in places like Uvalde, Texas, and, you know, reach all the way back to Columbine with one of the first, you know, notorious school shootings. They were all premeditated, and if somebody had known in advance, could we have stopped it? Well, it's an amazing thing when you look at it, but right now it has galvanized that community. Parents are showing up in droves at school board meeting demanding that principal resign. Was it trustful, bud? You looked. Thanks, Boomer. I appreciate it. Boomer looked up real quick. It was trustful. That's happening right now. But how about this one? And well, this is another 1819 story. 1819 News, Huntsville parents are also incensed by a middle school survey asking about gender identity and parents' political views. What the heck? Why would any teacher send home a survey with middle school kids asking not only about their gender identity, but also about their parents' political views? If that's not what I would call a blue stuff, I don't know what red state, blue stuff. Huntsville parents, it says in this article dated yesterday, are outraged after a teacher gave out a questionnaire that asked students about their gender identity, body modification, and their parents' political views. Ashley Berry, a civics teacher at Challenger Middle School in Huntsville. That's a great school, by the way. Challenger Middle School in Huntsville included a 48-question survey with her students' homework assignments. The questionnaire included questions: if the student identified as cisgender, transgender, or non-binary, would they be willing to undergo extreme body modifications? And also asking about the political leanings of the student's family members. One parent who chose to remain anonymous said when she found out about it, she was incensed, and she brought it to other parents' attention. Now, good on him. I will say this. Challenger Middle School Principal Bo Cohn, he quickly addressed the issue. He said that survey was not vetted or approved by school leadership or the district's leadership, and the content of the survey was not consistent with our standards, and it has been pulled. What's interesting, though, is in the recent school board election between Angela McClure and Andrea Alvarez, Alvarez, who's the liberal, got elected, and while she didn't like this, she condemned the actions of the teacher who gave it out. She also condemned the parent who made it public. Okay. Red state, blue stuff. I got a quick phone call. I'll go ahead and take that quick. Is that Sparky? Sparky from Harvest. How you doing today, man?
I'm good. Happy Friday, Phil, to you and Boomer. The transgender thing, the push by academic types and teachers to push transgender notion on little children, it's so disturbing to me. And the reality is you don't have to look too far into the legitimate internet research on gender dysphoria. There's probably, I think, 0.03 of the American population is genuinely suffering from gender dysphoria or undergoing surgery or living a life as transgender. That's a third of 1%. But recent polls show 5% of Americans are transgender or identify as transgender. But that polling also reveals the respondents who identify as transgender are aged 13 to 17. 13 to 17.
Wow.
Tell me these teachers aren't just trying to screw these kids up. What the ultimate outcome or what their ultimate goal is, I can't even begin to imagine. But it's criminal.
It is criminal. And some of it I look at and I believe it's got to be absolutely intentional with an underlying plan. And others, it's just absolutely gullible because they think they're doing a soft, nice thing and they don't want to make anybody mad. Yeah, it just, at some point, there's got to be some standards, black and white standards. And
well, I think the politicians inside the D.C. Beltway, they're not trying to pander to transgenders because they're not even a statistically significant group of people. But the people in the far left liberal voting bloc out there who think that celebration of transgender wonderfulness and going after people who would discriminate against transgender is a significantly statistically group of hairy-legged hippie chicks who do go show up and vote Democrat every time. And it's obscene that the politicians pander to these nut jobs and these far left socialists because what the damage being done to our kids just blows my mind.
Well, I got to leave it there, man. We're in late, needing to take a break. But Sparky, you were spot on, brother. All right, Boomer, take us to a break, man. It's going to wind up being a short piece when we come back because I ran long on that phone call. I looked up and saw the clock, and I was like, "Holy cow!" But Sparky was on it, man. I didn't want to interrupt that anyway. All right, folks, I got a little more when we get back. Red state, blue stuff. Happening right here in Alabama. Dang. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative and just plain right. I'm talking about we are down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa over to Gadsden, covering down on parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, just for good measure. Loving it. I almost get lost in that stranglehold bump, man.
Yeah, it's a good one. You just kind of want to just let it go.
I just want to groove on it for a minute before I jump into the show, but... hey, all right, let me jump back in with a couple things. Number one, here in about 5 minutes when we take the true top of the hour break, because this is a very short segment, we're going to come back from that and have an interview with Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin. Now, I'm just telling you, you got to stay tuned for this. Or call somebody and say, hey, man, dial in because it's about to go live. General Boykin is going to be on. So if you're not familiar, let me just say Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin in military and especially special operations circles is a legend. All right. He was one of the first members of Delta Force. He was in Vietnam towards the end of the Vietnam War, became a Ranger instructor, got a mysterious phone call one day asking him, basically telling him they wanted him to volunteer for an ultra secret new unit and it would be extreme. And that's pretty much all he knew. And he did. And it was Delta Force. And it was a grueling, process of being selected. He made it. At that point, though, he went on to do things that, like, there's been multiple books and movies. And when I say that, I'm not kidding. There was he took part in Operation Eagle Claw, the attempt to rescue the Iranian hostages in 78, 79. And then he also participated in the invasion of Grenada, where he took a 50 caliber round through part of his chest and destroyed his left arm. That story's amazing. And then the invasion of Panama, where he helped hunt down Manuel Noriega. And then the hunt for Pablo Escobar, the drug cartel lord down in Colombia, and rescuing missionary hostages in Sudan. And then he was the ground force commander for Delta Force in Black Hawk Down. And then it just goes on and on and on. He was in every one of these things. Well, he wrote a book called Never Surrender. But part of his story, his testimony, if you will, is that throughout all of that, he's a dynamic Christian. He does not mind saying, I'm a Green Beret, but I love Jesus, and I love this country, and let me tell you about all of it. And he will. And so this interview is pretty spectacular. We get his thoughts on how the Afghanistan pullout went. He retired as a 3-star. He worked in the Pentagon. He can speak to this. He's on Fox News constantly doing updates on world events. So, yeah, you're going to want to hear this interview. Nationally renowned speaker, and I met him a few years ago, and I texted him about 2 weeks ago and said, hey, sir, what are the odds? He goes, let's do it. So anyway, Jerry Boykin, 3-star general, on the show here in about 6-7 minutes. I'm not sure I'm going to get to the rest of this. I got some stuff.
Nah.
Red state blue. You don't think I am? what do you think, Boomer?
You got 30 seconds.
Oh, rats. Well, let me just point out, I was about to go into the fact that I think it was yesterday it was announced that Governor Kristi Noem is doing away with the grocery tax in South Dakota, one of the last states in the entire nation that still hangs on to taxing groceries, Alabama. You're in the reddest of red states, folks, reddest of red states, and we can't get them to even truly consider just not raising taxes over here so they can do away with it there. Like, how about just be true Republicans and maybe like Governor Kristi Noem just did and say, you know what? It's time. She just axed it. It's time for us to do the same. Red state, blue stuff. All right, coming up next, interview with Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, former Delta Force and Vice President now of the Family Research Council. We'll be right back.